Welcome back, college basketball fans, to another season of Hoops HD. It is preseason preview time here. I'm not sure when this is going up on the site, but we are recording this on October 15th, just in case any news that we miss in the show.
Show one, but episode one, minute one. It is the longest expanse of Hoops HD between now and the end of the season that we have. What a great day.
Well, I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got David Griggs over there, John Titel to my other side, down below, Joby Fortson and John Salika, and this is our ACC preview show. One of, if not the best conference in America. And when we're talking ACC, I want to get right into this. And Joby, you know we've got to start with you. And the number one question, as a Virginia alum, have you recovered yet?
No. I mean, plain and simple. I have a lot of concerns about a hangover 6 months later. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. We're going to find out how resilient a coach Tony Bennett is this year, because there is still a hangover. You would think it will go away if the team starts out strong. But boy, it's history. You know, this will be something people will be talking about, just like we almost talked about Princeton, Georgetown, and we still talk about it, you know, as the almost. Well, now this was it's the biggest upset since Chaminade beat somebody. So,
given the fact that it was in NCAA tournament, I think
it's bigger. It's
bigger than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's bigger.
Yeah, it was the most important upset.
It is what it is, and the shame of it is, I can say with a straight face, I don't care. You know, you can laugh all you want. Virginia's going to the Final Four if they win that game. Because of the way the bracket just opened up for him.
Well, Tony Bennett was at the Final Four.
The matchups were Virginia's for the taking. You're telling me that Virginia doesn't beat Loyola Chicago? Sorry. They will.
They were on a mission from God. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear that you say that, Joby, all kidding aside, because I really just think it was more just kind of one of those things. It was a bad day to have a bad day and a great day for UMBC to have a really good game. And I think – I know we'll get into this. I think too much is being made of it. I still think Virginia is an elite program, not a good one, an elite one. If you look at what they've done in the ACC since Tony Bennett's been there, if you look at what they've done against the pure bloods like Duke and North Carolina, it's not even close. One game, to me, doesn't erase any of that or diminish any of that. I think they're going to be just as good this year as we're used to seeing and go deep into the tournament or at least be in a position to. Well, I don't know. Maybe Virginia's still hungover.
Let me throw this over to you on the Virginia discussion here before we actually get into the discussion about this upcoming season. But do you think this is a system that Virginia has that's just not built for March success?
That's a great question. I mean, I think that it was a unique circumstance. I think I was on record. If not, I'm happy to go on record after the fact that I still can't believe that it happened. I never thought we'd ever see a one seed upset in the first round. That being said, it needed to have the conference sixth man of the year and DeAndre Hunter miss the game with a broken left wrist. And it needed to have these amazing players like Lyles and Mara, like, shooting the lights out. I mean, Virginia only gave up like 50-something a game last year in a game, and they gave up like 54 in the second half to UMBC. Like, it was the perfect storm.
Well, let's talk about this year's Virginia team. Joby, let me go back to you here. DeAndre Hunter is back healthy.
Yeah, healthy.
You also got Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome and a lot more. How good is this Virginia team?
It has the potential to be very good. And one added piece that is unknown as of our report is whether Braxton Key is going to be eligible or not. There is a reasonable chance that he gets the hardship waiver, which would add yet another double-digit scorer. He would have been the top returning scorer at Alabama with Cameron Sexton going to the NBA. And originally Key transferred to basically take the Hunter spot after a year gone. But now Key would definitely be in the rotation. Add that, you know, so in other words, you have another outside, inside, outside scorer. The one thing, you have Salt back, so you have a defensive, and Diakite, and Huff. And so you have an inside defense. The problem is there is no Gill player that you don't have someone you can pound the ball to and get 2 points. Hunter's the closest to that and some undersized teams. But as we will talk about later, the top two that Virginia will be competing with for the regular season title, they don't lack size. And we'll talk about that
later. Well, why don't I, Sleek, let me bring you in here. He mentioned the top two. Who do you think the best team is in the ACC, if not Virginia?
If not Virginia, we'd probably be looking at the newcomers at Duke this year.
Okay, and have you taken a look at this Duke team? Did you have any thoughts about the idea here of the Duke coming in with basically an all-freshman team or an all-newcomer team?
Well, we seem to say the same thing about Duke every year, but guys like Zion Williamson, who had also been courted by Clemson and South Carolina, among others. But Duke, they also have their typical schedule where they try to set up for a national title. They're playing Kentucky in the season opening classic, and also we're going to be part of the Maui Invitational where they have San Diego State, Gonzaga, Auburn, and Xavier, among others, but also a typical schedule where they have a bunch of showcase games either in New York or Chicago, and no true road games until they get into ACC play this year.
Yeah, and that's kind of Duke's MO. Not that there's any, I mean, other teams kind of do this too, but they're all bye games and showcase games. And games set up by third-party schedulers like the Big Ten ACC Challenge. They get a lot of good games. But on that note, just kind of curious, I've said this in the past, do you think that they hurt themselves by not playing at least one true road game?
They get – I would just say no in one – and for two reasons. One, they're going to get their road games in the ACC. Very tough road games. But then also – neutral, I think, is almost as important as road games. The key is just getting away from the friendly confines and shooting lanes, getting to neutral court. I almost think, especially if it's in weird stadium type atmospheres, can be very, very helpful. I think almost more helpful, especially if you're playing the opponents that Duke is playing on these locations. I think it's great preparation. To go back to Virginia, one scheduling component I love is Bennett did exactly what I like to do. He scheduled at Angry Frank this year. That is because Greenville and they're going to play it in Greenville or Columbia, exactly where one of the sub-regionals will be. And Bennett wants to get his team prepped in case they're in that sub-regional, which is the closest regional to Charlottesville.
But that also begs the question, is there also a regional site in D.C. with their road trip to Maryland that's also part of the ACC and Big Ten Challenge?
There is full regional, the not the sub-regional, but the regional is in D.C.
Sweet 16, Elite 8 for those of you laymen out there.
John T., this Duke team full of highly, highly regarded freshmen, McDonald's All-Americans, I think, isn't it the McDonald's All-Americans starting five is starting for Duke this year? What type of success do you see this team having with basically that's it? Because I don't think we've seen any of these all-freshman team win a national championship yet.
No, so the formula is the Fab Five in Michigan. They brought in all these guys like Weber and Howard and King and Rose, and they made it to the title game a couple of years in a row. Didn't win it all. Thanks for calling a timeout. C-Web. The difference in this Duke team is that there's kind of a blueprint of their own. So they had a few years ago in 2015 when Okafor and Winslow and some other guy named Jones won it all. That's the thing. I like the genetics also. Trey Jones comes in. His brother Tyus is a former national or tournament most outstanding player from 2015. Zion had a mother who ran track in college. Cam Reddish, his dad played basketball in VCU. And RJ Barrett, even the extended family. You know who RJ Barrett's godfather is? Anybody?
Missed that in the pre-show notes. No, who is that?
He's from Canada.
I didn't read over the notes.
Steve Nash is RJ Barrett's godfather.
Look at me.
Really?
Wow. Give me that credit.
Wow. Yeah, but So actually, I was reading today, our colleague Rocco, our good friend Rocco, posted on LinkedIn article on Twitter about that Coach K is basically saying that I'm going with positionless basketball from here on out, and I'm not going to change that system. What do you think about that? Is it just let's put the five best athletes we have out there and let's see if we can beat everybody with them? Is that the way basketball is now?
It is to a degree. The thing is, he has enough guys at the different positions. I think he could put out a normal, quote-unquote, five-position team and be okay. My question to anybody is, in terms of positions that you brought up, I still don't know what Williamson's position is. He's a short, humongous leaper. So I'm not worried about the dunks and the transition everything. But I don't know if he can step out on the wing and make – I don't think he can make a jumper, by the way. I don't know if he can make threes, though. In high school, he played 100 games. He was, like, less than 25% from behind the arc. But then they go to Canada for the preseason tour in August, and he's, like, 3 of 4 against these tiny Canadian teams. So I don't know if he's developed a three-point shot, because if he has, then let him play any position he wants, because he's going to dominate at this level.
I assume that Kay is going to be playing him in the – for lack of a word, Charles Barkley role. Yeah, I assume.
But don't call the forward.
Given, maybe Reddish. And so, also, it's out of need as much as anything else. You could talk about positionless basketball, but someone has to get rebounds, in some capacity. And presumably Williamson will be a big part.
Well, let's go to the other half of Tobacco Road there in North Carolina. And David, what about the Tar Heels? Are they a Final Four caliber team this year as well?
Potentially. Where did I go? Oh, there I am. Okay. Yeah. Maybe. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, they're not – there's going to be a show later on where you ask us who our Final Four is, and they're not going to be one of my Final Four. But I do think that they're going to be really good and perhaps better than what they were last year.
Well, Joby, I think my biggest problem with Carolina is we talk about positionless basketball, but it is a position. Who's going to be the floor general? Who's going to be the point guard there?
I do not know who's going to be point guard. I mean, Barry, they're going to miss Barry and dramatically. And that is my big concern with North Carolina. We actually saw this with North Carolina a few years ago, and it caused some problems for them. But they do have – I mean – I really love Luke May, obviously. He's like a good version of Grayson Allen as a senior-ish sort of influence. So I think he'll play well. Nasir Little is exactly who I was referring to when I was talking about Virginia and the size components issues they'll face. So they have pieces. But, yeah, someone's got to bring the ball up. It's going to be tough in the ACC where you're going to have defenses that are going to – be in your face, at least at the half court. It is not going to be easy to break down even a freshman-laden Duke team. It's going to be tough. Who's going to be looking to steal the ball and take it the other way?
One little fun fact about North Carolina this year, it's rare that you have a team from the ACC, much less a blue blood like Carolina, with their first two games on the road in true road environments. One is going to be at Wofford. Keep in mind, they also hosted South Carolina when they opened their new on-campus arena. And they also go to Elon before hosting Stanford en route to the Las Vegas Invitational that's coming up on Thanksgiving weekend.
And don't forget, they lost to Wofford at home last season. So this is this is going to be an amazing atmosphere opening night. I'll tell you, even though we've got the Champions Classic coming up on Monday night, on opening night, I'm as excited about this Carolina at Wofford game as any game on opening night.
That's a big one because Wofford is looking really good this year. A lot of teams in the SoCon looking kind of good this year. But, what's interesting about that is that Carolina will play games like that, more so than most other blue bloods will. They'll go on the road and play a game like that. Granted, this is the first time I remember opening on the road twice. Virginia, another team that'll do it too.
Yeah.
Joey, what were you going to say? Sorry.
How many times did they play Davidson? They play them in Charlotte. They play them at Davidson. They play in Dean Dome. It's like a rotation. It's good for them. Mm-hmm.
Uh, Tytel, let me turn back to you here. Beyond these top three, who are, I think we probably are all going to end up agreeing, are going to be the top three in some order. Who is the next best team in the ACC, in your opinion?
I don't know that it's clear cut, because a lot of the upper echelon teams lost a lot of talent. One team that retained a lot of talent is everyone's favorite, the Syracuse Orange.
I knew you're going there.
I mean, when you think about it, they bring back, like, the starting back court of Howard and Battle. They still have Brissett up front. This is a team that made the Sweet 16 before losing by this much to Duke. They still got Boeheim, who, say what you will about him, but he can coach. And they got Joe Lazai in the front court, who had 13 points in the loss to Duke. They bring back so many pieces from a Sweet 16 team, I don't know how you can pick against them.
It's really, you got four starters back, a 23-win Sweet 16 team. We're so used to Syracuse being that bubble team that we wish didn't get in and then end up getting in. Joby, I know you're a huge Boeheim fan.
No, I'm a big Boeheim fan, yeah. Syracuse is a solid tournament team entering the season. I mean, obviously, we always have to play things out. I really like Battle. I think he's going to really take even another step up, for instance, this year. But if I were to go with the fourth team, I think Virginia Tech is that fourth team, because you talk about, Tytel was very accurate talking about the returning Syracuse component, but when you talk about returners, I love four double-digit scores coming back for Buzz.
Crazy Uncle Buzz.
He's got his system in place. And you don't want to go to, boy, what was the game that Virginia, Virginia lost two games in the regular season last year. One was a tough road game against West Virginia, understandable. The other one, Virginia Tech, and that's not by accident. It's not an in-state rivalry loss. That was an earned game by Virginia Tech, and you're going to see more of that this year. I think Virginia Tech actually is the clear number four in the conference ahead of the Syracuses of the world.
And I'm kind of with you.
Syracuse is good.
You mentioned four double-digit scores. Don't forget Chris Clark. He was not a double-digit scorer, but he's double-double capable every night. So
and he runs the floor so well, and he's great defensively. I think they're going to be able to throw waves at you too.
Well, Stalika, what are your thoughts? Do you have another team that you think could be contended for this fourth or fifth spot?
Well, I'm going to go a little further south, and this was a team that did they turned out to be a pleasant surprise last year, and that was the Clemson Tigers. They're still going to have a returning core of Marquise Reed, Shelton Mitchell, Elijah Thomas, and Amir Sims coming back. Their schedule is, in some respects, going to look like a typical Clemson schedule, where they'll be part of an exempt event, have mostly home games, although they will be some respectable ones like a Nebraska neutral court game against Mississippi State. They also have their annual rivalry game at South Carolina right around Christmas time. But as far as their exempt tournament, they're going to be in the Cayman Islands Invitational, where they would face Akron and either Georgia or Illinois State on their half of the bracket.
Yeah, Clemson, an amazing Sweet 16 run, David, after all the heartache of just keep missing the tournament every year.
In a really good coaching job by Brad Brunell last year, like you already said, a really big surprise. And it seemed like whenever what they were doing was going to be derailed by injuries, they just kept going. And they took Kansas to the wall in that Sweet 16. They fell way behind and came back and kind of put a squeeze on them. So one of the best overall seasons for Clemson in recent memory. And, I don't think that they would be fourth or fifth, but I like them a lot more this year than I did going in the last year, and look at what they did last year. So,
well, Tytel, I want to ask you about another team here that I think may be one of the deepest teams in the entire ACC in terms of the rotation of players, at least. How about the Florida State Seminoles?
Love the backcourt. Questions about the frontcourt. So you got David Nichols coming in from Albany. He's only the second grad transfer in the history of the Seminole program. So this is not something Leonard Hamilton does a lot, so I assume that he's doing it for a good reason. They bring back Phil Kofer, who somehow is getting a sixth year of eligibility. He's going to break Okara White's school record of games played in February, I believe. He's on target. You got Terrence Mann, who I got to interview last year, super nice kid. E.J. Savoy had 12 points in the Elite Eight loss to Michigan. You have to remember, you talk about a team that could have made the Final Four, Joby. This team was 4 points away from beating Michigan and getting to the Final Four. They did lose C.J. Walker. They do bring back the other Walker, M.J., who was a McDonald's All-American in 2017. Hamilton's been there for 2 decades now, it seems like. If they can get a little bit in the front court, Kofor's a forward, but, like, it's mostly backcourt heavy. They can get a little in the front court to hit the boards and play defense. I love their chances. If not, it's going to be live and die by the three, I assume.
Joby, we can't hear you there. All right, we got to get you, Joby. We got to get your audio fixed. We can't.
They are returning their top five rebounders. So, you know, I'm not saying they won't have front court issues, especially when you're going up against, you know, like I said, the monsters. Like Carolina's going to be walking, UVA is going to be walking with multiple 7-footers. But I think they're going to be okay on the boards. But, you know, at the end of the day, Leonard Hamilton, yes, he's there. He can recruit and all this stuff, but they will make dumb mistakes in the middle of the season to lose games and thus cost themselves not of getting a top eight bid in the ACC tournament, but of being probably that double bye. You know, that'll probably cost them.
But these were dumb mistakes that were noticeably absent in their tournament last year. Yeah. They beat Missouri, and they beat Xavier and Gonzaga back-to-back, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and Stalika, speaking a little bit about Xavier, I know you probably don't want to go here. May hurt a little bit still, but let's talk Louisville, where Xavier's head coach, Chris Mack, is now the head man there. How quickly do you think he gets things turned around?
Well, I think as we've seen in, the past few months, we're not going to be getting any news from the FBI anytime soon. So if you're looking for Louisville to be sitting out for the postseason, dream on. They are still going to press forward. Last year, they ended up going to the NIT. I believe they lost in the second round. I forget exactly when, but their schedule is actually looking somewhat similar to a Xavier schedule where their bye games are actually going to be pretty decent ones at home to some extent. You look at Robert Morris, Kent State, Lipscomb is actually coming to the Yum Center.
Lipscomb's good, yeah.
And some of their road games, like, well, maybe not Seton Hall this year, but going to Indiana, that'll still get them ready for ACC play. And as far as their exempt tournament, they'll be part of the preseason NIT that also features a stiff test against Tennessee and either Kansas or Marquette on the other side.
What about the players on the floor here? To Tytel, with this Louisville team, a real interesting transfer from Samford, of all places, too, coming in.
Yeah, so you got Kristen Cunningham. He's the Samford school record holder with 514 career assists, but he's got the local connection. His brother, Trey, was a basketball manager at Louisville. The other thing I like, you mentioned the word transfer. This is a team back in the day. These guys would get McDonald's All-Americans when they had Pitino and others as the coach. We're talking about Peyton Siva. If you go back a little farther, Dwayne Morton. They could go and get the best players. Now with all the things, and most recent All-American they're getting, of course, Brian Bowen. We saw how well that worked out. They have to go to the transfer market. They got Dwayne Sutton, who came over from Asheville, and my favorite, Quan Four, who went to Richmond, graduated, and is now there. My favorite stat. The reason he's wearing number 4 this year is because every year people ask him why he doesn't wear number 4. His name is 4. He gave up. He's like, fine, I'll wear 4.
David, we're kind of through 8 teams, more than half of the ACC at this point. It's a kind of way things seem to work out of this conference. We're looking at teams that might be NCAA tournament bubble teams now. Who's the best team that you don't think we've discussed yet?
One of the teams I kind of like is this NC State team, and I realize that they kind of lost a lot. I mean, well, they lost Freeman, who I think was their best player, but I mean, when you're looking at everyone else, I think they're the least bad, if not good, of the bottom half of the league when you consider that we're getting down into Boston College territory.
Yeah, I mean, they have Braxton Beverly back, Markel Johnson, Torin Dorn, and Joby, DJ Funderburk coming over from Ohio State, too.
Yes.
One of the best names, I think, in college basketball, if nothing else.
And he pops up again. And I think David is going to be eating his words a little bit on what he just said, because I actually think the team that might be making a run
Oh God.
I think well, the thing is, I think the NCAA tournament berths we have discussed. Okay. I'll just leave it at that. But as far as the best NIT squad, yeah. That's where I go.
And the school you're going with is
Boston College.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I tell you, just a couple years off of the 0-18 Stalica, but they have Kai Bowman, who is just a fun player to watch.
Kai Bowman has been fun to watch. It would have been even more fun had his backcourt made Jerome Robinson return, but they'll still have some other decent guys in Jordan Chapman and Nick Popovich. A few fun facts about BC last year. They were actually 6-3 at home in the ACC and also beat Duke back in December, so it was about a 2 to 3 week period where BC actually led the ACC.
It was ridiculous.
But at the same time, their only road win in conference was at Pitt last year.
It was quite humorous because every projection, like ESPN, et cetera, they had to put Boston College as the auto bid. It was outstanding.
Yeah, because I know Chad's a big fan of that, how bracketologists project the first place team.
We could do an hour on podcast and just that, but let's
okay, this isn't a balanced schedule. I haven't looked at Boston colleges, but if they're playing Pittsburgh twice and Wake Forest twice, and those are the teams that they're playing twice, I know Stalica's our scheduling expert and Joby's our ACC expert. Maybe they won't finish. I could see them getting up a little bit higher, but they're getting better, all joking aside. I mean, I know our colleague Lee still loves to rag on them, but I just don't think that they're postseason of any kind ready yet.
As far as the BC schedule goes, they play Syracuse and Notre Dame twice. They also play Louisville and NC State twice. But I think the other key games we have to
– and Virginia Tech, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was also going to say, as far as Boston College, other games you want to keep an eye on, they host Providence in December, and they also have a road game at Texas A&M and also a game at DePaul where they should win, but if they stumble in Chicago,
I am setting the parental lock right now so I don't even accidentally turn on the Boston College DePaul game.
All right. Let's keep going here, though. And Tytel, we have not yet mentioned a team that was in the tournament last year. In fact, it was the first step for Loyola Chicago on their way to the Final Four. How about Jim Larrañaga's Miami Hurricanes? Anything back this year?
Not Juwan Hewell's last name. He decided to change it to Hernandez. So if you're looking for him on the roster and you don't see him, don't worry. He's not hurt. He didn't go to the pros. He just changed his last name. They do have a nice backcourt. Cameron McGusty comes over from Oklahoma. Zach Johnson comes over from Florida Gulf Coast. And they still have Chris Likes, the D.C. product, who had 10 points. And their 2-point loss to Loyola. They almost beat him, just couldn't get it done. Larrañaga has a proven winner in March. I don't know if this is a team that's going to go far, but I think that they have enough talent on the roster. Hernandez, a former McDonald's All-American. I think they can make the tournament. I don't see this team being a top 20 team, though, or anything.
Okay, so you think Miami can make the tournament. I guess, Joby, there's one team that we always – it seems every time we think they're not going to make the tournament, they get in, although last year was an exception. They did not get there. What about Mike Bray's Notre Dame squad?
I'm down on him this year. You know, T.J. Gibbs coming back is a big deal. He has potential to even lead the conference in scoring, maybe. You know, that's how good he is. But – the reason why they made the run and were so close to the NCAA tournament, according to the tournament selection committee, is because look at how they played with Bonzi Colson versus without Bonzi Colson. It was so clear because all the metrics said they shouldn't have been anywhere close, but yet they were the first team out. That is Bonzi Colson. Well, guess what? They're going to have an entire year without Bonzi Colson, and that's going to have an effect. And then on top of that, you lose who I think was a very underrated point guard in Farrell. I thought he was really was a straw that stirred the drink there. I am not on the Notre Dame bandwagon. I'm not saying they're going to be awful, but boy, it would shock me if they get if they are a top 8 seed in the ACC tournament and make an NCAA tournament.
And Joby brings up a good point. Had they just beaten Ball State, they probably could have snuck into the tournament last year, although it probably would have been at the expense of Syracuse. But as we'll get into in a later show, I think USC was a major snub from last year, not Notre Dame.
Well, David, I know that you are a big Josh Pastner fan over there at Georgia Tech. His team last year was 329th in the nation in scoring. And yeah, they lost had three double-digit scores off of that team. So how good are they going to be this year?
I could foresee them having some issues. I could see them struggling and not doing too well, which prior to last year, the year before last year, which I guess, let me check my mouth or not, I think was 2 years ago, it appeared that they were surprisingly good. I mean, not NCAA tournament good, but a lot better than I think what a lot of us were expecting. And you thought he kind of had them on the right track. I like Josh Pastner. He's a good guy. You want him to be a successful coach, but it just hasn't happened there. And I see things being even worse this year.
Tytel, how about Danny Manning over at Wake Forest? Any shot at any noise from them this season?
If by noise you mean a small whimper while they stay in the cellar of the ACC, then yes. Again, this is a place that used to get legendary players like Tim Duncan, et cetera. Now, I think Chris Paul is also a Wake Forest guy, if I recall. Now they have a good starting set of senior guards in Andrian White and Torrey Johnson, but both from the transfer route, White from Charlotte, Johnson from NAU. I like Manning. I think that they're going to stick with him. I don't think they're going to can one of the greatest college basketball players ever unless he wants to go take over for Bill Self at his alma mater or something. But I think that it's going to be rough sailing for the Demon Deacons.
Well, they did get a five-star recruit this year in Jalen Horde, who I think will be very productive. That being said, John is right on the final results.
It's not a good sign when you're the only school that's not going to be part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Right. Yes. And you might recall a few years back, Dino Gaudio, who replaced Skip Prosser, did very well. I think he was there for three seasons. In his second season, there was a point during that year where Wake Forest was ranked number one in the nation, top of the polls. They ended up getting a four seed, so a protected seed that year, losing in the round of 64, but all in all, really good year. The next year, back in the NCAA tournament, and they lost in the round of 32. The AD, because I guess he was dissatisfied with that and decided to make a change, and they went with Bezdelic from Colorado, and things just haven't worked out since then. Perhaps that was not a good administrative decision.
I kind of agree, though. I think Manning is going to get there, but it's going to be a little while. Speak about a school that's going to need even longer to get there. David, you're on
last year's Stallings Award winners.
You cannot get worse than 0-18. So here's the question. They have a new coach in Jeff Capel at Pittsburgh. Can they avoid another 0-18 season?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll be noticeably better, but still really bad. And I like Capel. I think that he'll do well in Pittsburgh, just not next year or this year. Maybe not next year either.
Tytel, is there any signs for hope here in Pittsburgh? Is there anything you're seeing?
Not on the playing side of it. From the coaching standpoint, I like Capel too. The Coach K tree is really starting to grow. You got Wojo out in the Midwest. You got Collins out in the Midwest. You got Capel out, I would argue, the Midwest, maybe the East. None of the guys have made like a big Final Four or anything, but
Mike Bray,
he's shown like his tree has guys who can coach teams into March.
Yeah. Mike Bray, part of that tree too. So, albeit an early branch.
Well, let me ask a question here. Joby, let me start with you on this. I want to go through each of you real quick on this one, or at least a couple of you on this one. Can we discuss all the teams now? Who do you think the best player in the conference? Who do you think that your ACC Conference Player of the Year will be at the end of the day?
Great question. If he does what I think he might, it could be a situation where Kai Bowman that I mentioned earlier could pop open because he will be dependent to do so much, and I think he will deliver on that so much. The Duke players will divvy up the scoring. I think Luke May might be getting the call because of the Carolina press, but watch out for Kaibohm.
Yeah, I would kind of go with Luke May because I think you're right that the Duke players may almost cancel each other out, and it's going to be tough to see the votes going away from Tobacco Road or Virginia. But Tytel, who's your conference player of the year?
I think Bowman's a great dark horse. My pick is May, but if RJ Barrett is as good as advertised, he's going to be the player of the year and the number one pick next year.
Okay. Well, what I want to do is run through each of you now. Sleek, let me start with you. I want to ask you two questions. Number one, who does win the ACC? And number two, how many bids? What's your over-under on the number of bids from this league?
We seem to say in preseason Duke is – or North Carolina is going to win it, but I'm just going to say Virginia probably finds a way to win the ACC again, and we'll probably see 8 bids out of the ACC. I would say the teams I have locked in at the moment are – Virginia, Duke, Carolina, and Clemson. Teams that will probably get in will be Florida State, NC State, Virginia Tech, and my 8th team, either going to be Louisville or Syracuse that sneaks in.
I kind of like Syracuse better than that, but Tytel, let me ask you the same question. Winner and over-under.
I think Carolina is going to win the ACC. They bring back a decent core and 2 McDonald's All-Americans. I'm going to set the over-under at 8 bids, and I think there will be 8 bids.
I'm with you on 8 bids. I'm going Duke, though, for the regular season, although I don't think they're going to get it done in the tournament. David, what about you?
I think Virginia is going to win it. And, again, like we always – they always seem to win it when they're picked 4th or 5th. This year they're picked even higher than that, so I think they're going to win it. Maybe even go for the double, although who knows. And I would put the over-under at 7.5 and take the under at 7.
Really? You're going 7. All right. Yeah. Jovi?
I think Virginia will have a little bit of a hangover. They'll make more mistakes than they have, you know, in years past. Maybe it's that inside scoring component that I mentioned. Duke, with pure talent, will talent their way past games that maybe a Virginia slips up on. Like, they'll win that Virginia Tech game on pure talent, you know, et cetera. So I'll go Duke. 8 bids. It's the one, you know, Duke, Virginia, UNC at the top, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Syracuse, Clemson, and I really like Louisville making it 8. I do think there is a gap, as I mentioned, with Boston College being 9th. Yes, they will play Louisville in the 8-9 game, and Louisville better win it.
I actually agree with you on the exact same 8 teams too, Joby, so you and I are right there, although I would have NC State maybe better than BC, but
I think the only time we can bring up such a chasm is when we get to the American Conference in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll get there in time. But, Sleeka, while I got you on the screen, any other final thoughts about the ACC this season?
Oh, I don't have anything else to say other than the teams I'd already gone over. But I'm probably going to be looking for at least, if not the national champion, at least one of the finalists that's going to be appearing out of this conference. Even though I picked Virginia to win the regular season, I could see Duke making another run. But another thing to keep in mind, whenever Duke does win the national title, it's either in Indianapolis or Minneapolis. And guess where this Final Four is going to be held?
Minneapolis.
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Right, Minneapolis. Tytel, how about you? Any other thoughts on the ACC?
I think I'm going to give my thoughts, sticking with North Carolina. We keep hearing about all these hotshot freshmen who are doing bad things and taking money and getting in trouble. I like it a guy like Nasir Little who's coming into Carolina. He was the MVP of the McDonald's game. Both of his parents served in the military. I don't think this kid is going to screw around. So I think that there's a sign of hope in college basketball.
All right. Joby.
It will be very – I'll go back to Virginia. You know, everybody wants to see it. How Atlantis plays out, I'll stress it again, how Atlantis plays out could be Virginia goes to Atlantis, could be a very big sign of whether this team is ready to go. If they go through and they plow through that tournament and they win against tough competition there, then okay, you can forget about UMBC. But if, for instance, they lose early on in that tournament, the questions could start to pop up and people start second guessing. That early on will define the season for Virginia. And if they do succeed, then I will reverse my pick of Duke winning the conference title and Virginia winning the conference.
If they lose to a team like Butler early, probably not as big of a deal, but if you're losing to a reloading team like Middle Tennessee or Dayton, then we start to put some red flags up.
And it's if you get two losses in the tournament too. That'll be a big factor as well.
I just want to notice, Stalika mentioned the chances of Final Four. Obviously, we all like Duke and North Carolina as potential Final Four teams. David, as I go to you for your final thought, I just wanted to note for everybody out there that those two teams have never met in the NCAA tournament,
despite only being 8 miles apart. I like Virginia as a potential Final Four team. I'm not as hung up on what happened in the round of 64 last year. But my final thought is, as much as I like the ACC and the history and the rivalry, it's not the old school classic lineup of the ACC, and they've done two things that I've hate. They've bloated themselves out to 15 teams, and they're playing a 20-game conference schedule and convincing everybody else that that's a good idea. Anyway.
Well, on that note, I do want to thank everyone joining us for this ACC preview. I'm Chad Sherwood. We've got John Tytel and Joby Fortson up top. We got John Sleek and David Griggs below me now. I don't know why our positions always switch when we switch screens, but for some reason we do. We'll be back with a lot more conference previews. This is one out of 32 conferences down, but we'll talk to you again real soon.